Welcome back to the deep dive. It is late February 2026, and I really have to ask, have you looked at a calendar recently?
You know, I try not to. It just makes me realize how incredibly fast the 2020s are flying by.
Yeah.
We're already halfway through the decade.
It is wild. I mean, seriously, we are in this very weird limbo week right now.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl is done.
Yeah.
All the Valentine's candy is on clearance, which I definitely stocked up on, by the way.
Well, I don't blame you. Half-price chocolate is the best part of February.
Exactly. And in North Texas, the weather is doing that specific thing where it's 75 degrees and sunny on Tuesday and then literally freezing rain on Wednesday.
Yes. The fall, spring. It is absolutely a rite of passage for anyone living in the region.
It really is. But while we are all frantically checking our weather apps to figure out if we need a heavy coat or just shorts for the afternoon, there is a much bigger shift happening that has nothing to do with the temperature. It is about money. It is about where you live. And if you look at the data we have in front of us today, it really looks like the economic winter regarding housing.
The freeze.
Yeah, that deep freeze we have been stuck in for the last 3 years. It might actually be thawing.
It is really interesting you use the word freeze.
Yeah.
Because if you talk to anyone in the real estate industry right now, agents or lenders or buyers.
Or sellers.
Right. That is exactly what the last 24 months have felt like to them. Just stuck. Complete suspended animation.
Frozen solid.
Frozen solid. But we are seeing the ice crack. We are right on the cusp of the traditional spring market.
Yeah.
But this year in 2026, the stakes feel significantly higher than they did in 24 or 25.
Yeah.
The pressure has just been building for so long.
And to help you navigate this, we are doing something a little bit specialized today. Usually we take a very macro look at things.
Right, we look at the whole U.S. economy.
Or big national tech trends. But today we are going entirely tactical. We are landing the plane right in North Texas, specifically zooming in on Parker County.
Which is honestly one of the most fascinating micro economies and case studies in the country right now.
Why do you say that? I mean, obviously, it is a beautiful area, but why a case study?
Because Parker County sits right on the fault line of this modern American housing dilemma.
Okay.
On one side, you have the massive suburban expansion of DFW. You have Fort Worth pushing further and further west. Development just eating up the prairie.
The subdivisions moving out.
Exactly. But then on the other side, you have this completely desperate desire people developed post-2020 for rural life.
Yes.
For actual land, for cows, for physical space. And Parker County is exactly where those two tectonic plates are crashing into each other.
That is a fantastic image, the collision of the high-density subdivision and the traditional cattle ranch.
It really is a collision.
And to help us understand that specific crash, we have a really unique stack of source material today. We are not just looking at the dry Federal Reserve reports.
No, we are getting localized.
Very localized. We have the Parker County Market Strategy. We have the Pete Realty Podcast Playbook. And we have the actual company profiles for Pete Realty.
And I have to say, it is a great stack because it perfectly bridges that gap between theory and practice.
Right.
You have the entry ice data, which we will absolutely get to. And I promise I will explain why pronouncing that acronym correctly is so important a little later.
Oh, yes. The pronunciation test. We are definitely getting to that.
But that data gives us the hard numbers. And then you have this playbook, which is essentially a masterclass in buyer and seller psychology.
Psychology? I mean, I thought we were talking about selling houses.
Oh, real estate is maybe 10% houses and 90% psychology. It is entirely about leverage.
Okay.
The sources we are diving into today are designed specifically to help a property owner understand exactly who has the leverage right now in late February 2026.
Who holds the cards? Is it the buyer or the seller?
Or is it the bank? That is the question.
That is the multi-million dollar question. So here is our mission for this deep dive.
Okay.
Whether you are looking to sell a sprawling ranch out in Weatherford.
Yeah.
Or maybe buy a starter home in Aledo. Or even if you are just fascinated by how a 10-year industry veteran navigates a market that is actively pivoting, we are going to extract all the key nuggets on how to maximize your ROI.
Return on investment, the absolute holy grail of real estate.
In this specific and slightly weird economic climate, and I really want to start with the why now of it all. You mentioned the ice cracking. What is the actual hard data point that matters?
It is the number six.
The number six.
Just says.
And specifically, it is interest rates dropping under 6%. The source material highlights this moment as the ultimate pivot point.
Right, because for the last few years, we have been hovering in that 7 or sometimes even touching 8% range.
Which is just suffocating.
It is painful. I remember looking at mortgage calculators last year and just closing my laptop in absolute despair. Mm-hmm. The math did not work. It did not work for most people.
Yeah.
But the data indicates we are finally seeing rates starting to tick down into the 5s.
And that matters.
It matters huge. Because it creates a window, a very specific window of opportunity that frankly has not existed since probably mid-2022.
Okay, so we have the when. It is February 2026. We have the where, which is Parker County. Hmm. And we have the what, dropping interest rates.
Right.
But every strategy needs a general, someone leading the charge. Who is the guide at the center of these specific documents?
The central figure here is David Peet.
Now, I spent some time really reading through his profile in the source material, and I have to be honest, usually when we look at real estate bios, they are, how do I put this politely?
A little generic.
Extremely generic. It is a glossy glamour shot. It is a lot of bold text saying, I sell houses fast.
Call me today.
Exactly. It feels very salesy and shallow. But reading David Peet's bio, I got a completely different vibe.
It is textured.
That is a really good word for it. It feels lived in.
The source material heavily emphasizes that he has over 10 years of experience. And I want to just pause on that for a second.
Sure.
Because why does 10 years actually matter? Is it just a nice round number for marketing?
I just assume it means he knows what he is doing. Like, he has not quit yet, so he must be decent.
It means a lot more than that. Think about the last 10 years in the real estate market.
Yeah.
From 2016 to 2026.
It has been a roller coaster.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If he has been in the game for a decade, he was there for the steady post-2015 boom.
Right.
He was there for the absolute sheer craziness of 2020 and 2021, where people were literally bidding $50,000 over asking price without ever physically stepping foot inside the house.
The pandemic frenzy. That was wild.
It was chaos. And then he was there for the massive crash, or rather the freeze of 2023 and 2024.
When rates spiked.
Yes. A lot of agents went out and got their license in 2021 simply because it looked incredibly easy.
Put a sign in the yard and collect a massive commission check.
Precisely. But those same agents largely washed out of the industry entirely when things actually got tough.
When you had to work for it.
Right. So longevity means resilience. It means he actually knows how to operate when the phone is not just automatically ringing off the hook.
There is a very specific phrase in the Peet Realty profile that they use to describe this kind of approach. They call the agent a trusted partner.
Which, again, sounds a lot like marketing jargon. We are your trusted partner. Literally every bank and insurance company in the world says that.
Exactly. I usually just gloss completely over that stuff. But they actually take the time to define what they mean by it.
Did-oos.
They explicitly mention that a real estate transaction involves a massive amount of behind-the-scenes chaos.
Entropy. That is the physics term for it. Pure disorder.
Yeah. It is not just opening a front door and pointing at the kitchen.
Not at all.
It is managing the home inspections. It is dealing with the title work. It is trying to negotiate repairs when the roof inspector inevitably finds a leak that no one knew about.
Yeah. Exactly. The profile defines David's role as the person who actively absorbs that entropy for you. Their company tagline is, make real easy. It is a clever play on words, real estate, make real easy.
Right.
But it actually touches on a very genuine pain point. Because if you have ever sold a house, you know that there are about 50 different moments where you want to just pull your hair out.
Oh, I've been there. The buyer suddenly wants you to fix a tiny scratch on the floorboards 3 days before closing.
Where the bank appraisal comes in $10,000 low and everything stalls.
It is incredibly stressful.
Right. So the trusted partner archetype is really about the agent stepping in and saying, I will take that stress. I will handle the panic. You just focus on packing your boxes.
But here is where the bio takes a really interesting left turn that I absolutely loved. We move from the professional trusted partner wearing a suit.
To the guy in boops.
Exactly. The country and city expertise. Let us talk about the animals.
The animals, yes.
Because the source material gets very oddly specific here.
It really does. It specifically mentions the Tennessee Walkers.
Right. The source states that David and his wife care for retired Tennessee Walker horses. And not just any random horses. These were formerly trail horses on the LBJ grasslands.
And they also raised British white cattle.
Okay, so help me out here. Put yourself in the shoes of the listener. I'm looking to sell my house. Why do I care even a little bit that my real estate agent has British white cattle?
That is a fair question.
Is that just a fun, quirky fact to make him seem more relatable?
Yeah.
Or is there an actual strategic signal embedded in that?
It is absolutely a strategic signal. In fact, for the Parker County market, it might actually be the single most important signal in the entire document.
Really? You think that is more important than his sales data?
In a lot of ways, yes. Think about where we are geographically, Parker County. As we established earlier, this is the blend of the city and the country.
Right, the collision zone.
If you were selling a luxury high-rise condo in downtown Dallas, knowing about cattle is completely useless.
Yeah, it might actually be a detriment because buyers might think you are a rural guy who does not understand complex HOA bylaws.
Exactly. You want the sharp suit and the luxury car in the city. But Parker County is fundamentally different.
How so?
A huge percentage of the actual real estate transactions out there involve raw acreage. They involve septic tanks. They involve complex grazing rights. They involve agricultural exemptions and mineral rights.
I did not even think about grazing rights. That sounds complicated.
It is very complicated.
Yeah.
If you are an agent from the big city and you drive out to Weatherford to show a 10-acre property.
Right.
And you show up in a shiny Tesla wearing expensive loafers.
Yeah.
And you do not even know the difference between a steer and a cow.
Oh, man. You lose all credibility instantly.
Instantly. The buyer or the seller will look at you and know you do not get it. And more importantly, you might actually miss critical things during the transaction.
Like what?
You might not realize that the existing fencing on the property is completely inadequate for keeping horses contained.
Oh, wow.
Or you might not know how to properly evaluate the soil quality if the buyer wants to plant Bermuda grass for grazing.
That makes a lot of sense. So by mentioning the Tennessee Walkers and the British white cattle, Pete Realty is flashing a badge.
A very specific badge.
They are saying to the market, we do not just sell this rural lifestyle concept. We actually live it every day.
Precisely. It is essentially proof of work for the rural side of the market.
Yeah.
And specifically, the connection they highlight to the LBJ grasslands.
Yes, I really wanted to ask about that. The bio makes a very deliberate point to say the horses came from the LBJ grasslands. I know that is a physical place, but what is the actual strategic significance of putting that in the marketing?
Okay, so the LBJ National Grasslands is this absolutely massive tract of public land located north of Decatur. It is over 20,000 acres.
20,000 acres? That is huge.
It is enormous. And it is a literal mecca for horseback trail riding.
Yeah.
If you are a horse person anywhere in North Texas, the LBJ grasslands is basically your playground.
Okay, so it is like the Central Park for cowboys and equestrians.
A very, very big, wild Central Park. Yes. So by explicitly linking his personal horses to that specific land, David is sending a major signal to the equestrian buyer.
Which is a huge demographic out in Parker County.
Huge. Mm. He is signaling that he understands their highly specific needs.
That's their language.
Exactly. He knows where the best trailheads are. He knows the terrain. He knows what a trail horse requires in a property versus what an expensive show horse needs.
That is incredibly high-level targeting. It totally transforms the generic message of I sell houses into a very targeted pitch. I help you achieve this very specific equestrian dream.
It really does. And yet, at the exact same time, the source material is careful to clarify that they cover the whole northern arc of the Metroplex.
Right. They mentioned Parker County, yes. But also Aubrey and Decatur.
It is that city and country bandwidth. And honestly, that seems like a surprisingly rare combination in this industry. Usually agents niche way down.
Right. You have the Condo King of Dallas or you have the Strictly Farm and Ranch guy.
Exactly. But the actual human migration patterns we are seeing in early 2026 heavily involve people moving from the dense city out to the country.
The great spreading out.
The exodus. So if you as a seller have an agent who actually speaks both languages fluidly.
Yeah.
Someone who can skillfully handle the sale of your suburban tract home in Frisco and then turn around and negotiate the purchase of your new 50-acre ranch out in Pister.
That friction is totally reduced. You do not have to manage two completely different agents with two different communication styles.
Exactly. That is the true value of the trusted partner. One highly competent point of contact for the entire complex transition.
I really like that. Okay. So we have firmly established that David Pete is this unique cowboy slash corporate strategist. He is the guide. Now, I want to firmly pivot to the battlefield itself. Let us look at the economic map. What is the terrain actually looking like in February 2026?
The source material is surprisingly brutally honest about this. And I really appreciate that transparency.
How so? Like, what are they saying?
Well, typical real estate marketing usually tries to spin absolutely everything as amazing.
Oh, totally. It is always red hot. Buy now or miss out forever.
Right. Regardless of what the underlying economy is actually doing, they push the FOMO. But the Pete Realty playbook openly acknowledges what it calls market softness.
Market softness, which is a very polite and professional way of saying it has been extremely rough out there.
It is a gentle euphemism, yes. But they do not just leave it there. They identify the specific macro factors that got us into this freeze, and we need to unpack these because they completely set the stage for their recommended strategy.
Okay, hit me. What are the core factors they point out?
Factor one is historically elevated interest rates. We all know this one. Factor two is drastically low housing inventory. And factor three, and this is really the big structural one, is the lock-in effect.
The lock-in effect. I feel like I keep hearing this term thrown around constantly on financial news. Can we break down the actual math on this? Because I think you and I understand it conceptually, but maybe the listener has not looked at the raw numbers. Why does this effect literally freeze the entire housing market?
Let us do a quick back-of-the-napkin calculation to illustrate it. Let us say you bought a nice house in Parker County back in 2021.
Okay.
You took out a $400,000 mortgage, and you locked in a rate of 3%.
The absolute golden days of borrowing money.
Unbelievable rates. So your principal and interest payment on that loan is roughly, let's say, $1,686 a month. Extremely affordable for that area.
That sounds fantastic. I wish I had that payment.
Right. Now, fast forward a few years to 2025. Rates hit 7.5%.
Ouch.
And you decide you want to move. Maybe you had another kid. Maybe you permanently work from home now, and you desperately need a dedicated home office.
Life happens. You outgrow the house.
Exactly. So you look at buying a new house for the exact same loan amount. You were not even upgrading. Just a lateral move.
Yeah.
$400,000 loan.
But now your rate is 7.5%.
Right. What is the new monthly payment?
I'm guessing it is a lot higher.
It jumps from around $1,686 to nearly $2,800.
Wow, $2,800.
That is an increase of over $1,100 every single month for the exact same amount of debt.
That is literally a car payment. That is two car payments in some cases.
Exactly. Yeah. That massive gap is the lock-in effect.
Right.
You, as a homeowner, are effectively being paid $1,100 a month to just sit tight and stay in your old house so nobody moves.
The inventory totally freezes. The market goes soft, not because people magically do not want to buy new houses anymore, but because they literally cannot afford to sell their current one.
Exactly. But the playbook highlights that this specific dynamic is finally changing right now.
It is.
It is. And this brings us right back to that magic number six we talked about earlier. The source specifically mentions seeing rates appearing under 6% again.
But does a drop to 5.9% really fix that massive $1,100 payment gap?
It does not erase it completely, no, but it shrinks it significantly. And much more importantly, it profoundly changes the buyer psychology.
How so?
7% feels like a financial crisis. It feels punitive. But 5-point-something percent, that starts to feel normal again. That feels mathematically manageable to a family looking at a budget.
It is breaking through that mental barrier. Once you see a 5 in front of the rate, you start downloading the Zillow app again.
Exactly. And the source predicts that as rates solidly drop below that 6% threshold, all of that pent-up demand that has been dammed up by the Lockett effect is just going to burst.
So the ice melts. The dam breaks.
And that brings us to the absolute core strategy outlined in the Pete Realty playbook. If you know for a fact that the dam is about to break, do you wait for the water to actually hit you? Or do you start swimming right now?
They call it the first mover advantage.
That is exactly the phrase David Pete uses. And it is entirely contrary to what most casual observers think they should do.
Right, because the standard conventional wisdom from your neighbor is usually wait for the peak. Wait until the buying frenzy is in full swing so you can easily get a massive bidding war in your house.
But David Pete says do the exact opposite. Or rather, act before the opposite happens. He strongly advocates for the first mover advantage.
Meaning, get the property totally ready right now, today.
Right. Because think through the actual real-world logistics of selling a home. If you wait until the market is red hot, say, May or June of 2026, to start painting the trim and repairing the roof and getting it listed.
You are losing incredibly valuable time.
You are. And you are entering an increasingly crowded market because everyone else waited until June, too.
You just become another standard listing in a massive sea of fresh inventory.
Exactly. The strategic logic here is do not wait for the heat. be the prime inventory that is already beautifully prepared and waiting when the buyers first flood back in.
Catch the early wave.
When those motivated buyers finally get their new pre-approval letter at 5.8%, they are going to want to buy a house that exact weekend. If your house is the one ready to go, you win.
It is entirely about being proactive rather than reactive.
It is. It is about actively anticipating the wave rather than desperately trying to chase it after it passes.
I really love that approach. It is highly tactical. Now, I want to pivot for a minute to something a little more subtle that I found buried in the documents.
What is that?
It is about the way Pete Realty communicates.
The tone.
Yes, the tone. The source documents explicitly request a tone that is Texas friendly.
Which is a very, very specific flavor of business communication if you have ever been down there.
It really is. Yeah. The document describes it as projecting genuine warmth, but at the same time maintaining a confident posture.
It is a delicate balance, right?
Yeah.
You want an agent who is genuinely pleasant to work with. You want that southern warmth. You want the handshake to feel real and authentic. But, and this is utterly crucial, when hundreds of thousands of dollars are on the line, you do not want to push over.
Right. You are trusting this individual with probably your largest financial asset.
Exactly. You desperately need to know that the person who is smiling and nice to you over coffee at the kitchen table is going to be an absolute shark for you at the negotiation table when the buyer asks for unreasonable concessions. That is the confident posture.
And speaking of that confidence and proving local expertise, there is a fascinating little detail in the source regarding pronunciation.
Oh, yes, the acronym. I promised we would get to this.
The acronym. It is spelled NTREIS. This stands for the North Texas Real Estate Information Systems. It is basically the MLS system for the entire region.
Right, the central database.
Now, I have to be completely honest with you. If I saw that written on a piece of paper, I would probably just say NTREIS.
Yeah.
Or I would just try to awkwardly spell out the letters.
And if you did that out loud in a room full of North Texas realtors, the entire room would just go dead silent.
Really? Is it actually that big of a deal? Or is this just some kind of petty industry gatekeeping?
It is absolutely a shibboleth.
A shibboleth.
Yes. A specific word or a way of speaking that distinguishes a particular group of people. It is an instant test of belonging. The source material is totally adamant about this. It provides a strict pronunciation guide. It is pronounced NTREIS.
NTREIS, like the word mattress.
Almost exactly. The last syllable sounds like rust. It is not trees. It is TREIS. NTREIS.
You know, it seems like such an incredibly small, petty thing. But in a fiercely local market like Parker County or really Texas generally, these tiny things matter a lot.
They matter immensely. If you walk into a negotiation, say, NTREIS, every single other agent in the room instantly knows you are brand new.
Or you are from out of state.
Or you just do not do enough volume in this specific market to know the basic lingo.
It completely undermines your professional authority.
Completely. Mm. And the source actually goes even further. It explicitly warns to double-check city name pronunciations. Because absolutely nothing kills a deal's vibe faster in a place like Decatur or Waxahachie than an agent wildly mispronouncing the name of the town.
Oh, I can only imagine. If you stroll in and call it Decatur instead of Decatur, the locals are just going to look at you sideways.
Exactly. It just screams, I am not from around here.
Yeah.
And if the entire core selling point of Pete Realty is that they deeply understand the city and country dynamics, that they understand the local land, the local people, then getting the language perfectly right is completely non-negotiable. It heavily emphasizes the immense value of hyper-local expertise.
So David Pete is not just analyzing the raw housing data. He is fluently speaking the local language, literally and figuratively.
Which inherently builds trust. And as we know, trust is the actual currency of real estate.
Let us talk about the core value proposition for the seller. Because this podcast playbook we are looking at is not just a bio. It is a targeted pitch. It is actively asking listeners to take a specific action.
Right. And the main hook they use is the ROI conversation.
The return on investment.
The source openly invites listeners to just ask for an estimated selling price. Now, that is standard. Every single real estate agent will do a free CMA for you.
A comparative market analysis. Just pulling comps.
Exactly. But Pete Realty adds a crucial secondary layer to that offer. They offer tailored advice on targeted investments to improve your specific market value.
Ah, the fixer-upper dilemma. I feel like everyone watches way too much HGTV and they think they need to completely gut and renovate their whole house before they are allowed to sell it.
That is exactly the HGTV effect, and it can be incredibly dangerous financially.
Yeah.
Homeowners usually fall into one of two traps.
What are they?
Trap one is they do absolutely nothing. The house sits on the market for months because it looks tired and dated compared to the new builds.
Right. And trap two?
Trap two is they massively overimprove. They go out and spend $50,000 putting in a custom luxury kitchen in a middle-class neighborhood that only supports maybe a $20,000 bump in overall appraisal value.
So they literally just lose 30 grand. Just set it on fire.
Effectively, yes. The source material explicitly mentions identifying home improvements that still offer a return on investment.
That specific wording is key. That still offer a return.
Right. It strongly implies that a lot of popular improvements actually do not offer any return at all. A trusted partner, David Pete, in this scenario, is the person who walks through your front door and says, paint the oak cabinets white, but do not replace them.
Save the money.
Exactly. He says, replace the worn-out carpet in the bedrooms, but do not bother upgrading the perfectly functioning HVAC system, because buyers in this price point will not pay extra for it.
It is having the specific global knowledge to know exactly where to spend the money and exactly where to hold back to get the absolute best listing price.
And that ties perfectly back into the timing strategy we discussed.
The call us first philosophy.
Yes. The source repeats this core mantra throughout. Call us first if you have any plans on selling now or in the near future.
Why call first, though? Why not call after I have repainted the living room and cleaned out the garage? I mean, realistically, I do not want the agent to see my house when it is a total mess.
It's a very common emotional feeling, but it is a massive strategic error.
Mm.
Because strategy takes real time. And honestly, because you might paint the living room the completely wrong color.
Okay, that is completely fair. I have definitely picked some bad paint colors in my day.
If you call David Pete first, before you swing a single hammer, or before you hire a random contractor off Facebook, he can expertly guide that spend.
Yeah.
He can look at the data and say, actually, in Parker County right now, buyers are desperately looking for dedicated home offices, not formal dining rooms. Let us stage this front room entirely differently.
It prevents so much wasted effort and money.
And it perfectly aligns with that proactive first mover stance.
Yeah.
Think about trying to hire contractors in North Texas right now. They are incredibly busy.
Oh, it is impossible.
If you suddenly decide you need to replace the roof before listing,
yeah,
that might take 3 or 4 weeks just to get on their schedule. If you wait until you are emotionally ready to list to call the agent, you have already missed the window.
You want all of that work completely done and dusted before the interest rates drop any further.
Precisely. It all connects back to the big macro strategy. The broader economy is shifting. Rates are trending down, so you have to prepare your asset right now.
And to prepare it effectively, you need a guide who knows what actually sells in the specific zip code.
Right.
Let us spend a little more time talking about the focus county itself, Parker County, because it really is the star of the show here.
It is the anchor for the whole strategy.
So in the context of early 2026, why is Parker County specifically the hotspot?
Parker County perfectly represents that hybrid blend we talked about earlier.
Right.
Geographically, you have the close proximity to Fort Worth. You can easily commute in for work if you absolutely have to.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you are out in the middle of nowhere without internet.
Right. It is highly commutable. It has infrastructure.
But it still offers that crucial breathing room. The source specifically mentions looking for farm and ranch opportunities.
And that is so significant. Because in a post-2020 world, the fundamental psychology of the American homebuyer totally changed. We saw it happen in real time.
You did.
People felt cooped up in their apartments or dense subdivisions. They suddenly wanted land. They wanted a sense of security. They wanted physical distance from their neighbors.
And a lot of analysts thought that was just a temporary pandemic fad. But the desire for space was not a fad.
No, it became a permanent structural shift in preference for a massive segment of the buying market.
Exactly. The intense desire for property, where you can have horses or raise some cattle or ride ATVs on trails, that massive premium on lifestyle land is still holding very strong. And Parker County delivers that exact lifestyle in spades.
It really does. And this perfectly brings us back around to the LBJ Grasslands connection. I know we touched on it earlier, but I really want to underscore why it matters.
Please do. It is a great detail.
The source material intentionally mentions that David's horses were formerly trail horses on the LBJ Grasslands.
And again, for any listeners who are not from the area or familiar with equestrian life, this is over 20,000 acres of preserved, beautiful nature.
Just a massive expanse of land.
And it is the absolute mecca for equestrian riders in the region.
So when the bio prominently mentions this fact, it is clearly signaling something very specific to a buyer who already owns horses.
Exactly. If you are a dedicated horse person, your absolute number one question when looking at a property is not just how big is the barn. Your first question is, where can I actually ride my horse?
Right. Because if you just buy 5 acres, you are just riding in circles in a dusty arena.
Exactly. It gets boring fast.
Yeah.
But if you buy a property strategically located near the grasslands, you suddenly have access to over 75 miles of interconnected multi-use trails.
And knowing the nuances of that massive trail system
is incredibly valuable intellectual property for an agent. Knowing exactly which properties have direct ride-out access, knowing which ones are a short trailering distance away, knowing which specific trailheads are best for certain types of riding.
So David Pete, knowing the LBJ grasslands intimately is not just a fun piece of trivia for a cocktail party. It is an actual closing tool for selling the lifestyle of that specific region.
It is. He's not just selling a structure with four walls and a roof. He is selling permanent access to the land.
I really love that perspective. It grounds the so-called expert status in something totally tangible. Now let us look at the actual operational side of things.
The nuts and bolts.
Exactly. We have talked extensively about the person. We have talked about the shifting market dynamics. And we have talked about the specific location. But how does the actual work get done day to day?
This is where we need to heavily deconstruct their main tagline. Real estate made real easy.
It sounds incredibly simple. Almost a little too simple, honestly.
That is entirely the point of a good tagline. But the specific grammar they use actually matters here.
Mm-hmm.
Saying it is made real easy heavily implies that the natural default state of real estate is, well, it is not easy at all.
No, it is incredibly hard. It is complex and frustrating and full of legal landmines.
Correct. The source accurately notes that a lot goes on behind the scenes. The primary goal of the professional agent is to aggressively make the incredibly complex process appear totally simple to the client.
It is exactly like that old analogy of a duck floating on a pond, calm and peaceful on the surface, but underneath the water, the legs are just paddling frantically.
That is the perfect analogy for a successful real estate transaction. You have the tense home inspections. You have the strict lender underwriting requirements. You have complex title contingencies and boundary disputes.
Yeah.
If the client actively sees all of that frantic paddling, they will just panic and pull out of the deal.
So the agent's actual job is to effectively hide the paddling from the client.
Yes. To skillfully manage the paddling, to buffer all of those intense friction points. The source argues very effectively that this modern market is simply too complex to successfully DIY.
Yeah, trying to do for sale by owner in a shifting, highly volatile market is a very tough road.
It is a nightmare. Look, in a blazing hot market, frankly, a monkey can sell a house. You hammer a generic sign in the front yard, and it sells in 2 hours with multiple offers.
True.
But in a transitioning market, like we are seeing in 2026, where rates are moving weekly and buyers are incredibly picky because their payments are higher, you desperately need what the source calls a professional sales and marketing organization firmly in your corner.
Notice how it carefully distinguishes between a marketing organization and a sales organization. I feel like most people completely conflate those two things.
They absolutely do. But they are entirely different disciplines in real estate.
Break that down for us. What is the difference?
Marketing is strictly about getting the right eyeballs on the property. It is having top-tier professional drone photos. It is writing a compelling description that highlights the lifestyle. It is properly optimizing the NTRI's listing data so it feeds to Zillow correctly.
It is making the phone ring, essentially.
Exactly. And what is sales?
I assume sales is actually closing the deal?
Yes. Sales is the hard negotiation. It is keeping the skittish buyer sitting at the table when the inspection report inevitably comes back, highlighting some weird plumbing issue.
It is navigating the extreme emotions of the transaction.
Right. You absolutely need both skills to succeed. And Pete Realty positions itself as seamlessly providing both sides of that organizational structure.
And they are very, very clear about exactly how you can reach them to start this process. The source lists multiple communication channels.
Because accessibility is everything in a fast-moving market.
Let us run through them. We've got the main phone number. It is 214-287-00009. I am actually going to repeat that because if you are driving around Parker County right now looking at for sale signs, you might want to jot this down. 214-287-0009.
Always a good call to repeat the number.
We have also got the direct email, which is david@petrelty.com. And importantly, we have the actual physical presence in Aubrey and Decatur,
effectively covering that entire northern sector of the Metroplex.
And I also notice right at the end of the source material, it includes strict references to the Texas Real Estate Commission information about brokerage services and the consumer protection notice.
Which, again, to the average person might just seem like boring legal fine print. But it is there for a reason. It highlights strict compliance. It highlights deep professionalism.
It is a highly regulated industry, after all.
Exactly. Prominently mentioning those specific state notices front and center in their marketing materials clearly shows that they play entirely by the book.
It reinforces that core trusted partner theme we keep coming back to. You're not just working with a wild cowboy. Well, maybe a literal cowboy with the cattle, but definitely not a cowboy in the careless business sense.
That is a great distinction. A cowboy in lifestyle, but a strict professional in business.
Yeah.
That is undeniably the winning combination for Parker County in 2026.
Okay, so let us synthesize all of this information. We have taken a very deep dive into the Parker County market strategy and the Pete Realty playbook. What is the grand big picture takeaway here?
The overarching big picture is that we are absolutely in a profound moment of change. It is late February 2026. The deep multi-year freeze of the housing market is finally thawing.
The ice is breaking.
Yes. We have a specific market in North Texas, specifically the city-country blend of Parker County, that is perfectly poised for a massive explosion of activity as rates finally dip below that critical 6% mark.
That window of opportunity is cracking open.
It is. And navigating it requires a guide. We have an expert guide in David Pete, who genuinely seems to perfectly blend high-level data-driven market strategy with authentic, lived rural expertise.
He has got the NTRICE data and the complex ROI calculations on one hand, and he has got the cattle and the trail horses on the other.
He fluently speaks the language of the corporate boardroom and the local barn.
That is a fantastic way to put it. So what is the absolute final takeaway for the listener today?
If you are currently sitting on a piece of property in Parker County, or honestly, even if you are just actively looking to move out there to get some space, the entire key to this game is timing.
Do not sleep on this shift.
Exactly. The softness we have been enduring for 2 years is ending. The hard data is overwhelmingly clear about that fact. If you wait lazily until the mainstream news headlines are screaming about a crazy hot spring market, you are already way too late to maximize your financial position.
You desperately want to be the first mover.
You do. You want to be the smart one quietly selling when everyone else is frantically scrambling to buy. You want to be the homeowner with the freshly painted, perfectly market-ready house, the exact second those buyers come flooding back in with their brand new 5.8% pre-approvals.
Reflecting back on that, make real easy promise from their marketing. In an incredibly complex and rapidly shifting economic market, simplicity and true local expertise really are the ultimate premium assets.
They absolutely are.
Right, yeah.
Look, you cannot personally control the federal interest rates. You cannot control the global economy. But you absolutely can control who is standing in your corner, helping you navigate the chaos.
That is incredibly well said. So I want to leave you with one final, highly provocative thought to mull over today.
Yes, hear it.
The source heavily emphasizes getting your property ready right now before the market truly heats up. We already know the rates are finally trending down, but think about this. If interest rates drop even just another 0.5% by the time summer hits.
If we see rates sitting at 5.5%.
Exactly. If that happens, the buyer competition is going to be absolutely fierce out there. It is going to be a total frenzy again.
Unquestionably.
Will you deeply regret not having your home completely market ready today? Will you regret just sitting passively on the sidelines while all the prepared first movers cashed out at the absolute top of the new market cycle?
That is the million-dollar question right there. The window to be ahead of the curve is actively closing as we speak.
That is definitely something to think about this week. If you want to dig deeper into the raw data yourself, you should definitely go check out the market report section over on petrelty.com. And of course, if you're in the area, the core strategy is remarkably simple. Call David first.
Call him first. Please call before you start painting your kitchen cabinets.
Thanks so much for joining us for this deep dive into Parker County. We will see you all next time.
Take care, everyone.
And remember, whether you are heading to the city or escaping to the country, always make sure you know your ROI.
Absolutely. Good advice.
Bye for now.
Goodbye.